ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम् ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम् ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवायाम् संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राहगृहीताङ्गं मामुद्धर भवार्णवाल् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथा मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोर्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यदप्रभो नामसङ्कीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं त्वं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यत्वया इतरदस्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराण् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयां जो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि प्रोज्झितकैदवोत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरेश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यते त्रकृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तक्षणान् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहकादरमाजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथितीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदातृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरीं न कणिकापि कापि कापि नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशा यासां हरिगतो गीतं पुनाधि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमानवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायम् अतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालये शमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोऽयं कुमारक वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म भासदां पुरतो मम मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयदे गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमते आचार्याय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनामसङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द So, continuing from where we stopped last Sunday, we're talking about the Krishna's stressing on the point of satsangam, isn't it? So, Krishna says that Uddhava, there is nothing higher than satsangam. Krishna keeps declaring that to Uddhava, that ultimately one has to come to this point of satsangam. It is from satsangam that proper bhakti will develop. Otherwise, it won't be a proper bhakti. Bhakti will be there, but it will be a different kind of bhakti. Proper bhakti comes from satsangam. That is Krishna's point. So Krishna says, Tenajida shudiganaha, nobhasida mahattamaha, avrada tapta tapasaha, satsanganmam upagadaha. Referring to gopis, this is Krishna's statement. Then Uddhava, these gopis, who had, what was their background? They were ordinary people. In Vrindavanam, they sold, they were doing business. They were selling milk, butter and other things. And that was their livelihood was. They had no opportunity to study any shastram. They never had any opportunity to study any shastram. And nor they had any association with great mahalpas. They didn't get it. Because in their level of life, state of life, there was no possibility of associating with any mahalpas either. Nor they had any, you don't see anywhere they have executed very severe penances or any kind of austerities, serious austerities. In the Bhagavadam, you don't see anything mentioned like that. So, tenadida shrudiganaha, no vasida mahattamaha, neither performed any service to any great soul. Avrada tapta tapasaha, they have not executed any severe austerities or penances, but everything they achieved by one thing, salsangamam upagadaha. Through salsangam, they got what they need. Now, the question will come that, oh well, the answer will, most of the people will be going through your mind. I'm sure this is going through your mind. Oh well, in their last life, they had done everything, so therefore they got this. No, Krishna is not saying like that. What Krishna is saying is that last life, what they had done, therefore they got Krishna's association. That's all Ramachandra has promised them. Ramachandra promised the rishis in the Dandakaranya forest that the association you are looking for, you will get it in the next life. That's all. But that in no way diminishes the statement what Krishna has made. Krishna's point is, through satsangam they achieved the goal, perfection, without doing anything else in this world. This is the important thing to remember. It's not that Ramachandra told them you will achieve perfection. They wanted association with Ramachandra. Ramachandra said to them, in the next appearance when I come as Krishna in the Vrajam, you will get my association to the Rishijaris. Then there is Shudijaris. The gopis are a group of people from different backgrounds, isn't it? They are all from different backgrounds. Shudijari, that means Vedas personified, they had come. Shudijaris. Then Rishijaris, that is the sages who had come. Then from the women from the heavenly planets, they had come. Apsaras women had come. So from various backgrounds they had come, but all of them, Krishna is saying, that they attained perfection simply through this process of association. Not that they got association. Of course, association with Krishna is valuable. And Krishna's, when we go through this, we'll see how Krishna pulled them to perfection in spiritual life. Simply by association, not through any other process, simply by association. That's why it says, Tenadida shudiganaha, nobasida mahattamaha, avrada tapta tapasaha, salsangama upagadaha. Gopi special quality Krishna is stressing to Uddhava like this. Now, when we discussed this last Sunday, we mentioned also that a great soul who has come to that platform of the gopis already, he'll be on a self-realized state. Self-realizedness happened to him. Kamvayu magnim salilam mahimcha. If you remember that verse, in the Kavi Maharshi says this to King Nimi, isn't it? In the second chapter, Kamvayu magnim salilam mahimcha. Everywhere it is only Krishna who is present. There is nothing else exists in this world except Krishna. That was the point Kavi Maharshi was saying at that time to King Nimi. Kam Vayu, in the sky, in the air, in the fire, in the water, and in the earth, all the five material elements, or the mountains, rivers, and everything what they saw, everything is Hare. It is Krishna only, nothing else. So they have come to that stage. Now, the perfect example in the Bhagavadam is Prahlada himself. If you look at Prahlada's example, you will see there, Prahlada says there that Prahlada was put into a lot of torture.
Vasane by Hiranyakashipu. What all Hiranyakashipu did to Prahlada? Hiranyakashipu threw him down from the mountains, top of the mountains. He gave poison to Hiranyakashipu with powerful elephants made to hit Prahlada with the elephants were asked to trample him. Various kinds of torture Hiranyakashipu has performed on Prahlada. And Bhagavatam is saying there, Govinda Parirambhida, that nothing happened to Prahlada. You may wonder, how could that happen? Because we are looking at Prahlada simply from the bodily level, isn't it? But the important thing to remember here is that whenever Prahlada was exposed to any of these punishments means any of this torture from Hiranyakashipu, Prahlada could not see anything else except Krishna. When the powerful, venomous snakes were biting Prahlada, Prahlada was seeing Krishna in the snake. When he was thrown away from the mountain, he was seeing the mountain as Krishna. When he was dumped into the ocean, to the bottom, he was seeing Krishna in the ocean. Everywhere, Govinda Parirambhida, nothing else existed for him except Krishna. This was the beauty of Prahlada's realization. Prahlada has come out from the womb with all these realizations. That everywhere he is only seeing nothing but Krishna. This is perfection of Prahlada's realization. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see whether he was drinking the poison, whether he was drowned in the sea, or when he was thrown away from the mountains, everywhere Prahlada is seeing it as Krishna. Seeing the mountain as Krishna. When he comes down from, he's saying, in other words, Prahlada's realization is such, nothing else exists in this world except Krishna. Bhayam didiya abhinivesha tasyal. If you remember that verse in the Bhagavatam earlier, when we are seeing differences between one person to another, when we are seeing duality in this world, fear will come. Fear has to come from duality. That is the nature of duality, isn't it? Fear has to come. For Prahlada, there was no fear because there is only one thing he was seeing, Krishna, nothing else. So there was no fear inside, and Hiranyakashipu was getting frustrated. He was trying everything. And Hiranyakashipu says, I am not seeing Krishna anywhere. This was Hiranyakashipu's problem. And Prahlada's situation was, I am only seeing Krishna everywhere. Nothing else exists for me. So these two situations with Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada, you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam. After seeing everything in this world, nothing but Krishna, Prahlada is saying there, if you in the Bhagavatam you will see in that verse, that what Kavi Maharshi says to him, that Khamvayu Magnim Salilam Mahimcha Jyodimshi Satvani Disho Drumadin Saril Samudramscha Hare Shariram Yal Kinjabudam Pranamed Ananya. This was Prahlada's state. In other words, all the five material elements and Jyodimshi Satvani Dishodhrumadin, all the planets in the whole creation and whatever things are there in this whole creation, Saril Samudramscha Hare, everything is Hari. Hari's body, Krishna's body in other words. There was nothing else for him. Wherever he looked, there was only Krishna. Saril Samudramscha Hare Shariram Yal Kinjabudam Pranamed Ananya. That without any difficulty, he paid his obeisances to each and everything in this world. To a soul like that, where is the question of any material misery existing? Where is the question of any punishment going to give him any trouble? Because there is nothing else what he sees except Krishna everywhere. Saril Samudramscha Hare, Hari's body everywhere. That is self-realization. It is from that realization what we are saying here, that the bhakti Prahlada has reached that state while he was within the womb of Mother Kayadhu. Although Sri Narada Maharshi spoke and revealed the knowledge to Kayadhu, nothing worked on Kayadhu. It was actually directed towards Kayadhu. But while within the womb, Prahlada, who has not even developed his intelligence, he heard this message from Sri Narada Maharshi and he became self-realized. So at that point, Prahlada's intelligence is not developed, isn't it? In that a baby who is 8 or 9 months old inside, however, it's a question of intelligence developing. There is no intelligence. And he understood self-realization. And we, with all our doctorates and everything behind us, we are not able to understand. That is the difference. That's what I am saying. In Salsangam, it's not through intelligence. It's not through the mind. It is that readiness inside to receive that pakkum or maturity inside to receive the message, then it will happen. Due to our own powerful vasanas and due to also the strong intellectual path we have chosen in this world of mind and intelligence, they are all obstacles on this path. And this Prahlada is the finer proof for this, that Salsangam is most effective when there is no intelligence playing any role. Intelligence are actually a creation of our own disturbance inside. Mind is a disturbance inside. Mind and intelligence are very strong disturbances in self-realization. We should know that. So that is why saying here, Saril Samudramsha Hare Shariram Yalkinja Bhutam Pranamed Ananya. That Ananya means that there is no difference for Prahlada anymore. For us, very strong differences exist in everything, isn't it? We can only see things like that. So, from these examples in the Bhagavadam, we have to know that Salsangam, what Krishna is talking about, is on a different plane altogether. It's not on the mental platform. It's not on the intellectual platform. That is why all these questions and answers and all has no relevance or no value in a spiritual life. There is Salsangam means that attention. And if the person is mature and he is hearing things, the message will go directly to the soul, not affected by any experience of the mind or intelligence, by mind or intelligence. And that is what the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. That's what Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is all about. Directly hitting this message towards the soul, without being interrupted by mind and intelligence. Shastram and other things, all this logic and reasoning is required because in our own mind we have difficulty in accepting what Krishna is saying, isn't it? When Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that we are not this body, we are a spirit soul, we still question, isn't it? We still have serious doubts about that. We have something we have understood, but it's only on an intellectual level. So, anyway, Shri Bhagavan Vaja, 12th chapter. Narayatimam yogo, narodhayatimam yogo, nasangyam dharmaye vaja, nasvadhyaya tapasthyago, ishtaburtam nadakshinaham, pradani yajna chandamsim, tirthaniyamayamaha, yadavarunde salsanga sarvasanga apaho himam, salsangena hidaideyo yadudhana mrgaha khagaha, gandharva apsaraso nagaha, siddha sharana guhyagaha, vidyadhara manusheshu vaishya shudrastriyo andhyajaha, rajastama prakritayastasmin tasmin yuge anakham, bahavo malpadam prapta tvashtra kayadhavadaya, vrishaparva balirbana mayaschadavibhishanaha, sugrivo hanumanraksho gajo gridhrovanik padaha, vyadha kubja vraje gopyo yajnavatnyastadha pare, tenadida shrutigana upasita mahattamaha avrada tapta tapasaha salsangan mam ubagadaha. So this whole chapter Krishna has tried to explain the importance of salsangam, and that many examples Krishna has given so far, that only through salsangam they have gone back to they realized the self. That this is the Bhagavata Siddhantam. Bhagavata Siddhantam is this. That you realize the truth through the process of Salsangam. That is Bhagavata Siddhantam. Now you may wonder that is this one of the processes for self-realization? According to Srimad Bhagavatam, no. This is the process for self-realization. Whereas all the other, the only process Krishna says is Satsangam. Only process is Satsangam. Whereas all the other processes, hearing, chanting, and all other processes is only to prepare us to receive this message in Satsangam properly. To make us pakvam, or to become, make us properly prepare us for receiving that message directly to the soul. So, Satsangam. So, why? Because Salsangam with a realized soul is such a powerful message. Okay? Powerful message. It's a lot of analysis has been done on this. It's not something spoken in a very light-hearted way. In a Salsangam, in the presence of a Mahatma, of a great soul, self-realized soul, what happens? What happens is the mind completely surrenders there. Without your knowledge, it happens. The mind comes to a tranquil state, stops all its wavering. Chapalata, everything stops there. It comes to a serene stage inside, or in other words, there is no more mental activity at that point. Normally, the mind and the false ego associated with that won't surrender to anyone in a natural way. It won't surrender. It only happens in the association of a great personality. Mahatma's association only, this can happen. So, here, it is at that point that the false ego disappears from a person. In the association of a great personality, the false ego automatically disappears from inside, and that means you are not a jiva anymore. Jiva status changed. So people have so many things going through their heads, isn't it? They want to control the whole world, and so many other levels also. This hangaram or false ego is working in us, very subtle level. Sometimes in a very gross level it comes out, sometimes in a subtle level it's operating in us, this false ego. Isn't it? The false ego is operating in a very subtle level. If you want to understand this, you should look at Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, if you look at the 18th chapter, verse 58 and 59, Krishna mentions this. Krishna says there that the... Machitta sarvadurgani madprasada tarishyasi adhajetum ahangaram na shrosasi vinangshadi. Krishna says, we have to see Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam together always, because whatever Krishna has spoken to Uddhava and Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, practically there is not much difference. The ahangaram or false ego, what Krishna says to Arjuna is, Machitta sarvadurgani malprasada tarishyasi. When you realize me, Krishna says, who I am, and you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. In other words, self-realization will happen to you when you come to realize this truth. You will know what it is. What Krishna says is that Atmanyev Atmanatushta. That stage has come to him. You do not, if however, Krishna says, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So in other words, Krishna is telling us, all of us are lost. Basically, that's what it is, the message. Through Arjuna, the message is to us. He says here, adachetum ahangaram. If you work with false ego in this world, na shrosyasi vinangshyati. That there is no possibility of realizing the truth. Ahangaram, it's a false ego, is the greatest obstacle in self-realization. So this ahangaram, Krishna refers to the word ahangaram itself. Adajetvam ahangaram. Instead of listening to me, if you do not work in that consciousness, that means freedom from false ego, if you do not work like that, na shrosyasi vinangshyasi, that you will lose yourself. You won't get anywhere, in other words. That's the point. This is in the 18th chapter, verse 58. Krishna says this to Arjuna. So having spoken the whole of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, now you have I have explained to you the message of the Bhagavad Gita. That is, karmam has to be executed without the ownership. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Vida raga bhaya krodham, that freedom from ragam and dvesham, two things. So these four things we discussed in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, they are actually this material life means. Ragadvesham, ahankartrutvam, bhoktrutvam. Four things together. So Krishna is saying here that if you act with them, what will happen is that you will not get anywhere. But machitta malgada prana, machitta sarvadurghani malprasada tarishasi. If you understand perfectly your realized state of the soul platform, not on the false ego platform, but on the soul platform, if you are operating in this world, mal prasada tarishasi, by my mercy, Krishna's kripa, that is the most important thing. By Krishna's mercy, you will escape from this material existence. Otherwise not. So, adajetvam ahankaral na shrosyasi vinangshasi. So, but if you operate on the platform of false ego, it is not going to happen. Sometimes we may think, oh, I'm only a little bit of false ego, but even that little bit is enough. That's it's not milligrams or grams you can measure that. that false ego is such a thing, that is what is keeping us going in this world. Why Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita so much in depth to Arjuna? The only one reason is that Krishna knew very well that even for Arjuna to understand it, he had to explain it through 18 chapters, this principle of moving away from the platform of false ego to the platform of the soul. And that he keeps on repeating. And in every chapter, the same topic is discussed through different angles. That is the interesting thing in the Bhagavad Gita. In order to get this point across to Arjuna. So in the next verse, Krishna says to Arjuna, yad ahangaram ashritya, instead of becoming on the platform of the soul, if you take shelter of your false ego, na yotsya idi manyase, mithyesha vyavasayaste prakriti swam niyongshadi. What can you put more clearer than that? He says to Arjuna, Arjuna, yad ahangaram ashritya, if you don't act according to my instruction, what Krishna has said so far, if you don't accept that, and if you still think that based on your false ego, you can do a lot of things in this world, and you decide not to fight, because Krishna is asking Arjuna to fight, isn't it? And it was Arjuna's false ego not allowing him to fight. That is false ego. Generally, we say false ego means you will fight, isn't it? But here Arjuna's false ego was telling him not to fight. Why? Because just like Yudhishthira did, Arjuna was also doing the same mistake in the beginning. But because Arjuna's mood was a little bit honest about it, that not worried about dharma, what Krishna says is correct. That understanding was there in Arjuna. So he accepted when Krishna says this, that if you act independently, without caring for my words, then you have to pay the price for it. That's what he's saying here. Yet ahangaram ashritya, if you take shelter of the false ego, and na yotse idi manyase, that if you think that I will not fight, I shall not fight, if you think like that, na yotse idi manyase, mithyesha vyavasayaste, that thinking that this is all false, and your determination is not there. Vyavasayaste. Vyavasayalpamiya buddhi, Krishna says in the second chapter, isn't it? So vyavasayalpamiya buddhi is not there, and you are making your own decisions. That means when we act independently also in life, leaving Bhagavad Gita to on its own and then act independently, then we think we'll make perfection, it won't happen. This is a very important warning from Krishna to all of us who are engaged in any kind of spiritual activity. Materialist, that's a different thing. But those who are in spiritual activity, Krishna says, ahangaram ashritya, if you take shelter of ahangaram or false ego, and na yotse idi manyase, you follow your own route in this life, then mithyesha vyavasayaste prakriti swam niyongshasi, then you will be under the control of material nature. I won't be dealing with you then. That's the point. I won't be dealing with you. Because then you are under the control of material nature. Because those who are under the control of material nature, they operate from the platform of false ego. They think they are the controllers. They know that what they are doing is right. And they are so convinced about that. That's how they live in this world. So, Shastram is telling us not to fall into that trap. That's Krishna's point. That don't fall into that trap. Krishna is saying that ya Shastram mithyesha vyavasayaste prakriti swam niyongshasi. Prakriti will engage you. That's the point. Prakriti will engage you means your vasanas will drive you. That's what it means. Kshatriya has his own vasanas, isn't it? Inside vasanas are there. So at one point, Krishna turns around to Arjuna and says to him, if you think you are not inclined to fight, forget about it. You will fight, Krishna says, because you are a Kshatriya. The vasana is inside very strongly, particularly in Arjuna. So Arjuna was convinced on this point that Krishna is speaking to me something about myself which I don't know. That was Arjuna's realization at that point. We are all in the same situation. That the mithyesha vyavasayaste prakritim swam niyongshasi. He says, by your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. That's the proper translation on that. In other words, the vasanas are powerful inside. They will act if you don't take instruction from Shastram. In order to fight against that vasanas inside, Shastram's help is necessary. So, having said that, Krishna says here that how to get out of this jiva bhavam, ahangaram state, false ego. that is the greatest obstacle in front of self-realization. Ahankaram, egoless state, freedom from the false ego. So this false ego is considered to be like a mad elephant, male mad elephant, who you know, when the male gets, elephant gets a special time when it gets very very aggressive at that time, isn't it? The elephant gets very aggressive at that time. So that elephant, it's very difficult to control at that time. Even the Mahal struggled very hard to control him at that time. The only thing an elephant is frightened of is a lion. Only thing an elephant is frightened of is a lion. As soon as it sees a lion in front, elephant gets fearful. That's the only thing that will bring him under control. Even if he dreams, the elephant dreams about a lion, that is sufficient. He will come under control. That is how the elephants are. So similarly, that elephant can even get a heart attack if he sees the lion in front, because he's frightened of the lion. The lions can fight with the elephant very effectively. So similarly, all of us who have this strong dose of false ego inside, unless it surrenders somewhere at some point to a great realized soul, it is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. And this is the point that satsangam actually does. What it does is that the due to satsangam, the false ego will go. False ego will, little by little, it will break. It will break. And not only that, it will come to a state eventually completely freedom from false ego. That state will come. And in a normal way means on an individual level, we will try ourselves to think in a different direction. The false ego operates like this inside us, that I am the doer, I am the and whatever I do, the results must come. All these are effects of the false ego in us, isn't it? So while operating with this false ego, it's very difficult to check that, particularly under the modes of passion and ignorance. Passion and ignorance, rajas and tamas. So eventually what will happen is that in the association of a great soul, we will automatically, this false ego will little by little vanish from inside. And we will also, the person who has gone there, will also try very hard to take it away from inside. So from inside you are trying, and the association of a Mahatma will help from outside. From outside, this Mahatma's presence, naturally it goes away. In his presence, your mind surrenders, subdues itself. It doesn't feel any more disturbed about that. So Krishna is saying all these things should happen in satsangam. Satsangam is not just hearing some stories and going home. That's not satsangam. Satsangam means this transformation of false ego moving, leaving us one after the other, inch by inch. It has to go away from inside. And that is the goal of satsangam. Krishna is saying that. And Krishna has all these personalities we discussed so far. Sugriva, Mahabali, Vibhishana, and Vritrasura, and also the Gopis and Yajnavatnis, they all had to be purified in one way or the other. They all needed some purification. So according to their needs, Krishna has arranged the purification process for them. Sugriva, another personality, he needed a very strong dose, so he had to be handled in that way. That's why, remember, I mentioned that when he was fighting with Mahabali, to Bali, Krishna understood that he needs a little bit of tempering first. So let him have beaten up a few times by Bali, isn't it? Deliberately done that. Ramachandra did that deliberately to get him beaten for some time. And when that false ego slowly started crumbling inside, when he was ready for that, Ramachandra accepted him and gave all these excuses of that I couldn't recognize who you were and who Bali is and all that. That's all just Valmiki stories. But the idea behind it was that Bali had to give him some punches before he could free himself. Same thing with Jambavan also. The false ego was there. Everything was there. So Jambavan needed some punching before he handed over the Samantaka jewel back to Krishna. After so many years, the ego was very strong in Jambavan. Jambavan was asking, who is the person who has handled one same time so many rakshasas who could fight with? This was Jambavas mood. So the ego hasn't gone. Even after the Ramayanam war, the Ramayanam story, Jambavan's false ego has not disappeared. So Krishna is saying to him that before Jambavan could recognize, he gave a lot of punches on Jambavan, very strong punches. And Jambavan was punching back at Krishna. And when these punches are received, Jambavan opened his eyes. Who is punching me like this? I never got punches like this any time from anyone in this world before. But it has to be someone. He lifted his eyebrow, because eyebrows were falling already due to the old age. So he lifted his eyebrows like this and looked. And then he saw Ramachandra standing there instead of Krishna. It was Ramachandra who appeared. Then he realized it's my master who has come to, and he falls down at that time. So ego is a block everywhere. And whether it is Jambavan or whether it's Sugriva, all of them needed something. And Vibhishana's case, we have seen how he had to be accepted at the end by how Ramachandra accepted him after scrutinizing all his credibilities and all his track record. Everything was very thoroughly scrutinized. So like this, all these personalities we refer in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they all had to go through this, that false ego has to be freedom from false ego. So the list is not over yet. Krishna's list is not over yet. These are all just samples. Whoever has got reached Krishna through Salsangam, they are all listed in this particular important list. And they all have experienced the association of Krishna and freedom from false ego. That many, many personalities you will see. All those great self-realized souls in this world, they have gone through this. They have gone through. They get punches. They get punched heavily by Krishna sometimes, till that false ego completely disappears from inside. And you can ask, Srila Prabhupada also will tell you exactly the same thing. Before he has got to that state, what he had to go through in life. At some point, Prabhupada also mentions that he had this great plans for becoming a very wealthy businessman in India. And he said that if I had been doing business like that, and that means there was a tinge of that false ego operating inside. There is no, Prabhupada admits that, saying that. But Krishna's mercy started coming in another way. That put Prabhupada through all sorts of situations that he started realizing, I am nobody in this world. This realization has come to him. And it is at that point that that recognition that Krishna has given, that is Krishna's mercy. That's why we misunderstand when Krishna takes away everything from us, isn't it? We think that why Krishna is doing this to us. This is ignorance actually. It's ajnanam this happens. When Krishna takes away something, Krishna has a purpose behind it. So we are happy when Krishna keeps giving us something. And pure devotees, this is the difference between the person who is in spiritual life and who is in the material life. Person material life is happy when Krishna is supplying him everything. All his needs and all his desires getting fulfilled. He creates the desire in you first. And then he fulfills the desire to you, and sometimes he doesn't fulfill the desire to you. So when he fulfills the desire, you become happy. When he does not fulfill the desire, you become unhappy. So sukham and dukham comes from fulfillment of the desire. But he himself creates this desire in you first. That's also he does. This is all actually to temper us, to come to that platform. After getting hit by a lot of distress in life, what will happen? You will realize it's all useless, wasting time on all these kind of things. This realization will come. This is Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look in the fourth chapter, you will see this, how this whole system works. And when that happens, we immediately started realizing it's not worthwhile going after all these things. Only then, at that point, Vairagyam will come. Otherwise, no matter anybody tells you, don't run after material life, don't go for material happiness, it is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We need these punches very often. And as much as we get it, slowly, slowly, from the distress, we will learn this one important point, that this has happened, from that my attachment will break in this world. Otherwise, attachment is not going to go away. We'll have our own plans and we'll submit our list to Krishna, and if Krishna gives all the list what we have asked for, then we are happy with Krishna. If he doesn't satisfy the needs, then we say that what has gone wrong in my spiritual life. You're thinking you are in spiritual. Krishna said there is nothing to do with spiritual life. What you are doing, you are coming to do business with me. And then you say your business has completely collapsed. What I can do about it? You come with the intention of doing business with me. So this is the result of that. Yeah, please come forward a little bit. So the thing is this, that what Krishna is saying here is that important point, that the idea is that that the all these examples so far in the Bhagavadam is called Vedhiregam. Vedhiregam Anvayam Vedhiregabhyam. We have talked about this before, if you remember. Anvayam Vedhiregabhyam. All this is Vedhiregam. Now another two examples left in the Yajnapatnis Tadhabari. Gopya Yajnapatnis Tadhabari. Gopis and Yajnapatnis. Two examples more Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavadam at the very end of this list. So most of them that we have talked about so far, they were not very capable in spiritual life. Capable means they never studied Shastram, not executed any penances, nor had any great association with great souls, nothing like that. Somehow or the other, it happened in their life, like Sugriva, Vibhishana, Mahabali, and all these personalities, if you look at them, you see that what did they do in spiritual life to get this great success in spiritual life of self-realization? What have they done? Nothing, isn't it? But at the right time, Mahabali felt to do the right thing. That is his good fortune, isn't it? When Vamanamurti came and asked for 3 feet of land, Mahabali handed over the all what he had. And then even against the advice of Shukracharya, Mahabali decided to surrender to Vamanamurti. That is his good fortune. So somebody has to inspire from inside to go in the right way also. Krishna has given that mercy to Mahabali. So, and Mahabali, perfect example of Atmanivedanam, surrendering process, isn't it? So Mahabali like that. Vibhishana also same thing. He thought that he should go to Ramachandra and surrender unto him, rather than sticking to Ravana, who was on the wrong path. So how did this conclusion come to Vibhishana? That is Krishna's mercy. Same thing with the Sugriva. In spite of done so many wrong things, and not only that, went to the extent of advising Ramachandra how to deal with this world, Ramachandra was laughing, seeing Sugriva's mood and Sugriva's way of behaving. In spite of that, seeing that Sugriva's desire to serve Ramachandra in finding Sridharadevi, Ramachandra thought that at least let this Vanara have some mercy from me. And given to Sugriva like that. Sugriva has then chanted one round. He was not even following four regulatory principles. What to talk about chanting? Can you imagine that? Out of the four, two we very well know from Valmiki Ramayanam he didn't follow. What are they? Intoxication and illicit sex. He has it very much so. Monkey, isn't it? After all, what do you get? So these two, so he has not even followed regulatory principles. What to talk about chanting 16 rounds? He hasn't done that. So in spite of that, he says to Sugriva, you can go back. So all these personalities in the Bhagavadam, Krishna is bringing in front of us to tell us, it is not sadhana that is taking you back to spiritual, your self-realization. This is the important point. We all have this misunderstanding that through my sadhana I'll get there. And it is my sadhana that will make it happen. No, sadhana won't make it happen. It is Krishna's mercy that makes it happen. And if you ask what makes that mercy to come, there's no answer to that. There's no answer to that. This is a difficult thing in spiritual life too. Then we will say, oh, what's the point of wasting time then, isn't it? That will be the next answer from us. What's the point of wasting time? No, Krishna is not saying like that. Krishna is saying that our ahangaram, false ego, when completely disappears from inside, then that is sharanagati, the complete surrender to Krishna. When that surrender happens, the mercy will come. But surrender has to happen first. When I am thinking that through my sadhana I will succeed, I still have the false ego inside. That's what's telling me, through my sadhana I will make it. And I will go through all kinds of severe austerities and penances and everything. And I will do a lot of things thinking that I will make it. So that false ego is still operating. So ahankaram is the main problem here, not anything else. The false ego inside is the main problem. So gridraha, nrikshaha, then Jarayu's case we saw. We also saw the case of Jambavan, everything. So here, the point here is that, important here is, what Krishna wants us to do then, isn't it? What Krishna wants us to do? Krishna's point is this. First thing, we must have desire for self-realization. If that's not there, there's nothing we can do about it. Isn't it? To escape from this misery of the material world, this human body given to me, I should endeavor very hard, and that is my only goal in this life. This has to be fixed first. Again, same thing. Like in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says exactly the same thing. Vyavasayalpamiya buddhi egeha gurunandana. Vyavasayalpamiya buddhi egeha gurunandana. Bahushakha anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. That one verse is very strict, clear direction to us. Bahushakha anandascha. Our problem is that our mind and our thoughts are bahushakha. It is centered around millions of things in this world. Krishna is saying, buddhayo avyavasayinam. His buddhi is avyavasayinam, that he cannot reach the goal. So Krishna is not saying to us that the process is not important. Process is not important. Important thing is, have you got the goal inside you? And proof of that is that your mind is running not after other things. That is running after self-realization. So that development or that definite agreement or definite conclusion inside has to happen first. That's why Krishna is saying there, Bahushakha anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. Avyavasayinam means one who is wavering, who has no definite conclusion in life, what he wants in this life. He has no definite conclusion, what can I do? That is Krishna's point. So, therefore he says there, that the important point is that definition. Naratvam devatvam Nagavana mrigatvam mashagata pashutvam kidatvam bhavadu vihagatvadi janinam. What does it matter? Naratvam devatvam nagavana mrigatvam. even if we get the body of an animal, even if we get the body of in the aquatics, or if we get a body as a mosquito, or even if we get the body of a demigod, or any other body, doesn't matter. Pashutvam kidatvam. Pashutva means animal's body. Kidatvam, one of the flies or anything like that. Bhavadu vihagatvadi jananam. Even if he gets the body of a bird, what does it matter? Sada tulpadabjasmarana paramanandalahari. That all the time, if my thoughts are after Krishna, after Krishna's lotus feet, viharasaktam je dugdayam ihakim tena vapushaha. That as long as this goal is inside, just like happened to Jadayu, isn't it? What made Jadayu to help Ramachandra by attacking Ravana? He knew very well, Jadayu knew very well, that Ravana will kill him. So Ravana cut both the wings of Jadayu, isn't it? With Chandrahasam, he cut both the wings and left Jadayu there. But who gave that thought to Jadayu? That is Ramachandra's mercy, Krishna's mercy, in other words. So, this mercy is the thing that happens, makes it happen. Nothing else. So, it doesn't matter which body we get. A person who got a human body, but he lives like a rat whole life, is that better? Or is it to live like an animal and become self-realized in that body? Which life is better? That's the question here. That we get a human body, and in that human body, we got absorbed in all kinds of sense gratification. With our false ego, we operated whole lifetime. And nothing has happened. But instead, even if he takes birth of an animal, or even a gajendra, elephant, if you get the opportunity to realize the truth, what does it matter which body you have got? This is what the question they are asking. That it does not matter which body it is. But human body is more favorable for self-realization. It's only the possible. So, whichever way we have born, it doesn't matter. So, this is the point, if you look into Narada Bhakti Sutram. Narada Maharshi wrote this famous book, as you know, Narada Bhakti Sutram. ഈശ്വരത്വാൽ അഭിമാനദ്വേഷിത്വാൽ ദൈന്യപ്രിയത്വാൽ ച നാരദ മഹർഷി സേയ്സ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്. ഇഫ് യു ലിങ്ക് ടു നാരദ ഭക്തി സൂത്രം സേയ്സ് ലൈക്ക് ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് ഈശ്വരത്വാൽ അഭിമാനദ്വേഷിത്വാൽ, ദിസ് ഈസ് വൺ ഓഫ് ദി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് സൂത്രംസ് ഇൻ ദി നാരദഭക്തിസൂത്രം. നാരദഭക്തിസൂത്രം സേയ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ഈശ്വരത്വാൽ ഈശ്വരസ്വാമി അഭിമാനദ്വേഷിത്വാൽ ദൈന്യപ്രിയത്വാൽ ച ദാൻ one who is endeavoring in spiritual life with one's own effort, one who people have this, some people they are very determined in life, isn't it? They are very determined, and you will see the same determination coming to spiritual life also in their mind. They'll become very focused on spiritual life, but inside there is strong false ego operating on a very subtle level. They won't know about that. They're thinking that my effort, I will realize the truth and I will follow all the principles, I'll do everything what I have to do as I've been told, and it will last for a few years. After that the steam will run out, it won't go further after that. So ishwaratwal abhimana dveshitwal, if you do it out of abhimanam, out of false ego inside, it will not work. Abhimana dveshitwal, that Krishna doesn't like that. But on the other hand, if someone thinks that I am helpless, absolutely helpless, I can't do on my own anything, and completely hands over everything to Krishna, he will make it a success in spiritual life. Not the one who is so focused and so determined and who makes a chart every day how many rounds I have chanted and makes the graph and thinks that I've done all these things and waiting. It won't happen. Krishna, it can take a very, very long time. On the other hand, Krishna says here, Ishwaraswabi abhimana dveshitval dainya priyatval cha. Abhimana dvesham, that abhimanam is inside, the pride inside, I can do that. And that's what has to go from inside. And dainya priyatval cha, dainyada is what Krishna likes in a devotee. Dainyada means that helpless state inside, that I can't do anything, what can I do? I have done everything what I can. I am helpless. That consciousness, that state has to happen. Krishna has no particular attachment to anything. Samoham sarva bhuteshu, Krishna says, name deshu istina priya. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, isn't it? I am equal to everyone. This is Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita. But why did he say like this then? Because Krishna's mercy is coming to everyone equal level. Equally it's coming to everybody. We think that, oh, Krishna is not showing any mercy to me, but to others. No, Krishna says, I show the mercy to everyone equally. But then, what happens is that we are not favorable to receive that mercy from Krishna. That is the problem. Not Krishna is not the problem. Krishna is giving the mercy. We have a lot of false ego inside. And we need this false ego to be fulfilled. And till that time, we have to keep fighting. And the mercy is withdrawing back, coming back from us. So, this is what this Ishwara Dveshitwad, Ishwara Dvesham it is called. Dvesham is nothing but this hesitation to surrender to Krishna, to accept Krishna's authority or Krishna's words completely within us. We will say, yes, 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 we agree with everything what Krishna says, but I have to do my duty. We'll go after duty. So when that happens, then Krishna is saying there that is false ego. That's coming from that. So what is actually stands as a block in that mercy coming from Krishna is this false ego. Is this false ego. When that goes away and when we find that we are helpless in this world, and become completely surrendered to Krishna, at that time Krishna says that Krishna says that this will happen. Particularly in the bhakti process, except in the bhakti process in jnana margam, karma margam, yoga margam and all, we are dependent on our effort. In bhakti process, that alone will not work. It will not work. That is why I am saying that in the bhakti, the success of bhakti is not on how many rounds you have chanted, how many ekadashis you have fasted, how much deity worship you have done, none of this. The success is how much you have surrendered inside, sharanagati. That is the key to bhakti. For jnani, The key is Shraddha, the seriousness, serious attention towards self-realization. He is operating on a different plane altogether. Eventually, both reach at the same point, but processes are different. But bhakti process, we don't have to worry about many things. You are handing over everything to Krishna. Let Krishna decide what is to happen. Their ego is not operating anymore. So, so Isharaswabi Abhimana Dveshitwal Dainya Priyatvarcha. And having said that, if Krishna is not very happy when we approach him with Abhimanam or with ego inside, then Dainya Priyatva means, the word which Srinarada Maharshi has used here, Dainya Priyatva means that how that false ego gets little by little broken or taken away from us. That is that Dainya Priyatva means. In other words, we realize that we are helpless and all my techniques and tricks and all those kind of things. People ask such silly questions sometimes. What's the technique of realizing the truth? What can you answer to that person? Or is there any shortcut or a trick we can use? And this is because that's what they are used to in whole life, isn't it? In material life, this is all what they do all the time, using tricks and techniques. And they are developing new programs, like computer programs, they are developing programs also for self-realization these days. So none of these will work in spiritual life. This is first we have to recognize this. None of these, your tricks, your cleverness, smartness, cunningness, all this you have to throw it away first. If these don't go, you are wasting time. Spiritual life won't work under the shadow of all these things. Under the shadow of all these things. We think we are very clever, isn't it? We think we are very cunning, or we are very crooked, or whatever, political, diplomacy. All these dirty things inside will not allow us to advance in the spiritual path. This has to go. It's no point telling everyone you surrender, 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 when you yourself has not surrendered. Isn't it? You're not accepting this, what Krishna is saying. And then telling everybody, oh, you committed so many offenses are all inside. This is our offenses. These things inside is the offense itself. So, if you have to know at the time that all my cleverness and all my smartness, all my cunningness will not work. And when I come to understand that, we will become properly situated in life. We'll become properly situated in life. Then, if you can observe this in people who have associated with Mahapurushas, great souls, over a long period of time. You will notice this quality in them. Very much inward looking, no false ego, while dealing aloof from everything. Where did they get this quality from? In the association of the great souls. They have got this quality with them. That they will not, they will not unnecessarily act on a platform of false ego. There's no false ego left in them. That you have to observe people. Only then, I can't give you an example for that. Many, many great devotees who had the association of great souls, they have, in their association, they lost their false ego, completely disappeared. And they came to this status, where there is no more false ego inside. Complete dependence on Krishna, that means total surrender inside and always living in that consciousness in this world without getting disturbed by anything. It is a very beautiful state of consciousness where one is in that state. That you can't, they may not be jnanis, they may not be jnanis, they may not be yogis, they may not be siddhas, but there is no way you can measure them with anything. But one thing you can see, you can, by seeing them, you will know the Guru's strength. Seeing the disciples, you will know the Guru's strength. If in the association of the Guru, if those disciples have reached that state of consciousness, in other words, freedom from the false ego, completely moved away from the platform of false ego, and they have come to this state, such disciples, this has happened only due to the association of the Guru. Only due to the association of the Guru. So this is one way of seeing the Guru's caliber or from the disciples you can measure this by seeing such personalities. Then how can we understand that? Because their false ego would have gone away from them completely. Completely the false ego must have disappeared. And that is in Shastram what is called as Hrijubhavam. Hrijubhavam means that crookedness inside has gone. There is no more crookedness inside. Crookedness means what? Always trying to be diplomatic and always trying to be wheeling and dealing in this way. That goes away from them. That is the symptom of such a person who has had that association proper. And inside peaceful, totally peaceful, and there is no false ego anymore operating within them. Completely freedom from pride. Amanitvam adambitvam. That adambitvam Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita is that. Freedom from false ego. Then, another thing, there won't be any unnecessary ambitions inside. This ambitions and all is a product of this false ego. That I have to become this, I have to become something, to become all the time thinking about becoming something. In spiritual life, there is nothing to become. That's what Krishna is saying. You're already that. Only you have to realize is get rid of all this becoming business inside and come to your proper state of what you are. That means freedom from all the false ego inside. That unnecessary ambitions and desire that I have to become a big person in this world. This is another symptom of that. I have to become a big person in this. I have to become a big guru, or I have to have so many followers. I have to have this, I have to have that, and I have to build so many ashrams and temples, and I have to earn a big name in the society. This has nothing to do with spiritual life. These are all products of this false ego inside operating after coming to spiritual life. That's all it is. Nothing else. We are also equally foolish. We think that when somebody is doing all this, oh, he must be a realized soul. That's why he's doing so many building temples, so many ashrams, so many followers, so much money he has collected, and so much millions he has got. So he must be definitely self-realized. It's nothing to do with self-realization. This is the important thing. So what Krishna is saying here is that the you can see all these things. Unfortunately, as I mentioned before, what we have done in the modern world is we have brought Krishna into our material life and burned Krishna in the material life. Instead of taking this materialism and burn it in Krishna, we have brought Krishna and burned it in our material life. This is what the modern spirituality is all about, isn't it? So you can see that some of the religious organizations, they have, in the if you look into the trusts and things like that, they have crores and crores of rupees or billions of pounds, millions of pounds they have collected. And they are running big, big spiritual institutions. And you may wonder, for self-realization, how does this all help? What has it got to do? Because self-realization is something different than all these things, isn't it? So in spiritual world, also we have to be careful not to get distracted by all this. That is what the point Krishna is making here. That normally, normal situation, one mind cannot control another mind. It's not easy. Okay, by force you can sometimes frighten people. Say for somebody is working for someone. He will say that because he is fearful of losing the job, he will do everything to please the other person. But inside he'll be burning inside him. He'll be thinking, oh, this person, what has he got? His ego will be kicking inside very strongly. And so normally in this world, through authority and power, one mind cannot control another mind. Even if you try to control, at some point it will escape. At some point it will break up. You can see people, personalities like Hitler. He tried to control, but the point of death, when he had to kill himself and leave this world, all of them started saying that we knew this will happen before. So that means the surrender there to authorities. Among politicians also you will see the same thing happening. They are not towing the line because they have surrendered to the authority. No, they are not. Actually what's happening is proper surrender doesn't happen there. It's only an adjustment due to the situation they are in. But in the spiritual life, when you surrender to a realized soul, a proper authority, what normally happens is that is proper surrender there. There is surrender there actually. Why? The mind has withdrawn from the false ego has completely gone away from there. That is why those disciples of the Guru who have that quality is showing to us that they have actually surrendered themselves in the association of that Guru. They have taken his shelter completely and surrendered themselves to him. And this is the proof of that. The disciple will tell you whether they have surrendered or not. That is the symptom of that, not anything else. You can't, there is no other way you can measure it. Whether he has surrendered to the process, surrendered to the spiritual master, you have to see that from the way, whether he has surrendered or not, you will know if you see him. If the person has freedom from false ego, if the person has this realization that ahankaram is my problem, that he has withdrawn from that, he has become very reflective, inward looking, and also that straightforwardness has come to him. Freedom from that, diplomacy and all kinds of techniques and tricks, what he has been doing in life, and he gives up all that, and life becomes very, very, very simple at that point. It's not complicated anymore. Then he knows very well that I have surrendered to Krishna. Now it is up to Krishna what he wants to do with me. In this consciousness, he lives in this world. So, a powerful mind, it can control another mind. A powerful mind can control another mind. But what is the difference? There will be no happiness in it. Isn't it? The mind which is being controlled by the powerful mind, the mind which is controlled will not be happy, which is controlled by the powerful mind. But the mind which has surrendered to the spiritual master or to Krishna at some point in life with complete understanding of surrender, that mind will be happy and peaceful. There is a big difference in that, isn't it? There's a big difference in that. A mind which has been controlled by another powerful mind and through other processes will always not be happy, because he is always feeling somebody is controlling me from behind. Isn't it? You'll always feel that, especially in offices when you work. Boss is trying to control you through various ways. And he also wants to make sure that you surrender unto him. So he will apply his different tactics, isn't it? All this management training, what's it all about? It's all about this only, how to control somebody else's mind. That's what they are teaching you. But they'll put all kinds of sweet words and cover it up with sweet coating to tell you they are teaching you some great science. That's how they put it in front of you. But the idea is this, that they have to extract work out of you. So they have to get you under control. So in order to do that, they will bring all these courses and seminars, and we think that those courses and seminars are very important. We bring that to spiritual life then. After learning all this in Harvard and Oxford, we bring that to spiritual life to realize Krishna. And Krishna says, well, wait a minute, he says, that I had enough of this, your techniques and tricks. Let it wait for some time. So there is no option. You have to surrender. Surrender is the key principle behind spiritual life. Nothing else. Sharanagati, Krishna says, Mahabali, examples in the Bhagavadam is only to tell us these things, nothing else. That when we saw what happened to Vritrasura, what happened to Ambarish Maharaj, what happened to Prahlada, what happened to Bhishma, Kunti Devi, Parishit Maharaj, Uddhava, Gopis, Akrura, any personalities you take in the Srimad Bhagavadam, they have only one thing to say to us, that this has to go from inside the false ego. So, then, it's not because the great personalities, their mind is very powerful, that this is happening. Their mind is not so powerful like some of the people whom we come across in our life in this world. They have much more powerful mind they have got. The great personalities, their mind is not very powerful. But the reason for that surrender happening is they are situated on the platform of the soul. That's why it's happening. Mahatmas or Mahapurushas, as they are referred to, because they are situated on the platform of the soul, in the presence of the soul, another living entity who has a lot of false ego, that goes away from him in a natural way. That's a proper purification to happen. Other thing is not purification. This is the proper purification. So purification happens sahajam. Sahajam means in a natural way, this happens. The mind surrenders, subdues there. Then there is nobody controlling you after that. It happens in a natural way inside. Your mind surrenders. That he won't tell you that you become my slave. He won't tell you that. But in a natural way, you want to become a slave there. There's a big difference in all these things. Sometimes what we find is that we want to make them surrender. We force people to surrender. That's the wrong thing to do in life, to forcing somebody to surrender. That's not the right way to say people surrender. People should surrender after coming across with someone who has that spiritual position. In their association, they should feel like surrendering. Is that what's happening in the world today? You can answer yourself. That if you force people to surrender, it won't last very long. It will last for some time, and one day you will decide that, have I done the right thing? It will be going on inside. All the time you will ask the same question. Have I done the right thing? And what am I supposed to do now? These questions will keep coming back. So, but in the association, if it has happened in a natural way means that because that person is in the realized state, and when you had the association with him, due to the impact of that self-realized state of that person, your false ego has completely disappeared and you have come to understand the value of self-realization. And then it naturally happens to you without any external effort. That is surrender. That is surrender. That is what all this is about. Abhimanam dveshitval dainya priyatvacha. He says that abhimana dveshitvam, Krishna doesn't want that. That's why that when we surrender, we have this misunderstanding sometimes that I have taken initiation, I have surrendered. We have not surrendered. We have a false understanding. It's only technically, yes, you have surrendered. Technically. But not in, that's the right word, isn't it? Technically you have surrendered, but you have not surrendered. Because surrender hasn't happened yet. So that is the point Krishna is saying here, that in the Bhagavadam, if you look at that verse 12 in this, Tana vidan mayanushanga baddha dhyaswamalpmana madhastadedam adhastadedam yatha samadho munayo adhitoye nadya pravishta ivanama rupe. Then In the verse 9 also, Yamna Yogena Sankhena, this is chapter 12, verse 9. Yamna Yogena Sankhena Dhanam Vrata Tabodhvareihi Vyakhya Swadhyaya Sanyase Prapnuyadhyatavanabhi. Krishna says there, Yamna Yogena Sankhena Dhanam Vrata Tabodhvareihi, neither by yogam nor by sankhyam, nor by dhanam, charity, vratam, austerities, and tapas, penances, advarehi vyaghya swadhyaya sannyasai. Even by sannyasam, Krishna says, no, you are not surrendered. Just because you have taken sannyasam doesn't mean you have surrendered, Krishna says. Swadhyaya sannyasai prapnuyad yatnavanabhi. That you cannot reach that state by any of these things. People sometimes also think like this, oh, somebody is a sannyasi, he is surrendered. That's the wrong understanding. That's only change of clothes as far as Krishna is concerned. Krishna is concerned, that's only a change of clothes and danda. There is no proof that he has surrendered. Surrendered soul, Krishna is saying that you can understand that by seeing that person's dealings in this world, how serious he is about self-realization. That's the only credibility behind it. So many people, we misunderstand these things. So that's the point Krishna is saying here. That so in the last one, Krishna is saying here that all of these personalities, that all these surrender can happen in satsangam. That is the most important point Krishna is driving us at. In satsangam, this surrender can happen. After saying all these things, at the very end, Krishna is saying here that two examples. One, gopis, and the other one, that the yajnapatnis, the wives of the brahmanas. We need to study these two examples very carefully, because both examples have got a lot to tell us about surrender. It's not that something we read Bhagavatam and, oh, gopis were very loved Krishna very much and Krishna loved the gopis very much. through all these verses in the Bhagavatam, particularly in the 10th canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi and Sukadeva Goswami has kept a lot of instructions for us to look at it very carefully. Otherwise, Bhagavatam is not simply a storybook. Bhagavatam is a spiritual text. It has got something important to tell us. So it's why I say that gopis achieved success, isn't it? Gopis achieved success. They didn't know any shastram, did they? They didn't know any shastram. You don't see gopis were reading any Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam any time. They never seems to have read anything. But the day Krishna was born, the attraction started for the gopis. Gopis' attraction to Krishna started from the day Krishna was born. How do you know that? It is in the Bhagavatam. If you look in the Bhagavatam, you will see that when Sukadeva Goswami, when Krishna was born, Krishna appeared, I'll put it that way, Krishna appeared, Sukadeva Goswami did not go to see Krishna. He was also there. He didn't go to see Krishna. He says, instead of seeing Krishna, it's much more interesting to see those who are going to see Krishna. That's more interesting because Krishna will be there, I can go and see him later. But this opportunity, I won't get anywhere. He says that in the Bhagavatam. So he says to Parikshit that I wanted to see those who were going to see Krishna. And there are some verses in the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami's happiness coming out. You don't see Sukadeva Goswami happy like this very much. He's a very dry person in that sense. Jnani, isn't it? And a yogi as well. So you can imagine, Sukadeva Goswami's mood at that time. He says in the Bhagavatam, Gopyaha sumrashta manikundala nishkakandyaha chittamvaram padushudachuda malyavarshaham nandalayam savalaya vrajadir virejur vyalola kundala payodhara harashobhaha. This is Sukadeva Goswami's one important verse on the gopis going to see Krishna. Gopya sumarishta manikundala nishkakandhyaha. That gopis, they are dressing themselves up to see. Nanda Maharaj announced in the middle of the night after Krishna appeared, he sent a group of cowherd men to beat the drum and to make the announcement all over the Vrajam that Yashoda Devi had the baby. And also the announcement was that Yashoda Devi had the baby. Nanda Maharaj would like everyone to come and see the baby. So as soon as this announcement was made, in the early hours in the morning, immediately all the gopis got ready, organized themselves to go and see Krishna. Nanda Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami says there that the whole mood in Vrindavanam changed instantaneously. They all loved Yashoda Devi and Nanda Maharaj so much that when the baby was born, immediately they took their best clothes and wore themselves up. Gopya samarishta manikundala nishkakandhyaha chitramvaraha patishikha chudamalya varshaha. That when they were walking, they had completely covered their head with flowers. The gopis have dressed very well. And all kinds of flowers they have put it on there, on decorated, how the women do with all the flowers on the head. All that started falling off from the hair. And Sukadeva Goswami is observing all these things. That's the beauty. Pati shikha chuda malya varshaha. That when it is falling from his head, Sukadeva Goswami is wondering this. Oh, these gopis are not even conscious of that. This has fallen away from their head. Nandalayam savilaya vrajadir virejur vyalola kundala payodhara hara shobhaha. That they were going to see Nanda Maharaj's house. Savalaya vrajadir virejur. That the mood at that time, that they had great happiness. They were carrying some presents with them. What does normally gopis carry the presents with them? We buy chocolates and all that, isn't it? When you go to visit. There was no Cadbury's then. So they had nothing else. Gopis' wealth was cows, wasn't it? Cows, butter, milk, things like that. This is what they took with them when they went to see Krishna. All of them took whatever they had. That was their wealth for the gopis. This was their wealth. So they took whatever they had with them to go and see Krishna as a present to give it to Krishna. When they went there, we have discussed that when we talked about the appearance of Krishna, isn't it? What happened there and all that. നന്ദാലയം സവലയ വ്രജതിർവിരേചുർവ്യാലോല കുണ്ടല പയോധര ഹാരശോഭാഹ. ദാറ്റ് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് പോയിന്റ് ദാറ്റ് ദേ ലുക്ക്ഡ് സോ ബ്യൂട്ടിഫുൾ, ദ ഗോപീസ് ലുക്ക്ഡ് സോ ബ്യൂട്ടിഫുൾ. ആൻഡ് ഗോപശ്രീ ഗോപീസ് വർ സേയിങ് ദയർ ദേ വർ നോട്ട് കോൺഷ്യസ് ഓഫ് എനിത്തിങ് വാട്ട് വാസ് ഹാപ്പനിങ്. ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് ദ ഡേ കൃഷ്ണ അപ്പിയേഡ് ദിസ് റാസ ഡാൻസ് സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് വിത്ത് ദ ഗോപീസ്. It was not, it happened later on. Of course, in the Vrindavanam, in the forest, that rasa dance, officially in the Bhagavatam, comes later. But actually, this rasa dance is started from that day itself, from the very day Krishna has appeared. So, people think sometimes that gopis got attracted much later to Krishna. That is not true. Gopis are attracted from the day of appearance. What is that appearance? Appearance is not the attraction of the body, attraction of the soul. Krishna is the soul of everybody, isn't it? So when that soul has come, as Krishna has come like that, that attraction has started in that way from that day itself, from the day Krishna has come. Krishna has come. So how do we know that? That's also a question to ask, isn't it? Just started then. Very early days itself, if you look into the gopis' relationship with Krishna, especially in the rasa dance, gopis are saying to Krishna, Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam andaral madrik vikhana sartido vishwaguptaye sakhamudeyivan satvadam kule. This one verse is enough to know what state of realization the gopis were. Gopis are saying to Krishna, if they were on a normal mundane way of love in this world, this verse cannot come from them. They are saying there, Nakhalu gopikanandano bhavan, you are not the son of Yashoda Devi. You are not the son of Yashoda Devi. Then, akhila dehinam andaralmadrik, you are actually the super soul of everyone. The soul of everyone. Andaralma means the soul of everyone. Akhila dehinam, of all the living entities, you are the soul of those everyone. Andaralmadrik. Drikha means one who is seeing everything. Isn't it? Drikka, Drishyam, two things. Drikka is the one who is seeing, Drishyam is what is seen. Vikhana Sartido Vishwaguptaye Sakhamudeyivan Satvadam Kule. That for the benefit of this world, you have come. Vishwaguptaye Sakhamudeyivan Satvadam Kule. You have appeared here. It appears as though you have come into the family of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. That's all. It appears as though that you had come like this. But actually you are not this. You are somebody different than all these things. This is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in the prayers from gopis, Gobiya Gidam, this verse comes there. Now, these gopis, they have not studied Shastram. They have not performed any penances. How could such a verse could come from them? It is a verse of a realized soul, isn't it? To say to great jnanis only will speak like this, that you are the soul, andaralma of everybody. And that is the proof that the gopis were already being in that platform. They had come to that state already. So, andaralmadrik, andaryami, or sakshi. And that's what you are. And then, what else is there? What else is important is, when gopis in the middle of rasa dance, Krishna disappeared, isn't it? Krishna disappeared at that time. So, gopis are saying that jnanis are much more intelligent than us. Why? Because we have to learn from them something. Gopis are saying to Krishna, why is that? We got attracted to your form like this and we were running after you in this way. But we are on a kushalaswaha altman kurvandi toiradim nityapriyeva patisudaha patisudanaya bradrubandhava adivilangyade achudaha gadaha gadi gidastavod gita mohidaha kidava yoshidaha kastajain nishi. Gopis are saying to Krishna, we have given up the association of our husband. They walked away from home, isn't it? We have given up the association of our children. Pati Sudanoya Brahadra Bandhava, our brothers and relatives. We have given up all that association. Adi Vilangedi Achudaha Gadaha. That things which are very difficult to break away, we have broken. Very difficult for an ordinary woman. You can imagine them days were such that everything was very much strictly followed. The rules were strictly followed that for women to walk away from home, from the association of family members, particularly husband, wife, husband, children, parents, brothers, sisters, it will be very, very difficult for them. But gopis are saying, Padisudanyoya Bhradra Bandhava Adi Vilankhide, we broke all that away. Achyudaha Gadaha, we have come to you. Why? Gopis are asking this question to Krishna. Gedi Gidastavo Vida Mohidaha, that although so many things were spoken about it, Kidava Yoshida Kastijin Nishi, that in this middle of the night to come to you like this, we must be very stupid. Gopis are saying like this, but we couldn't say anything about it, we have come. This was the Gopi's words to Krishna. Because, and when Krishna disappeared, the Gopis were wandering around looking for Krishna. Isn't it? Gopis are wandering around everywhere looking for Krishna. And Gopis are saying to Krishna that Jnanis don't have this problem. Jnanis are realizing you and they are able to hold you back. They don't lose you and they don't look going looking for you anywhere. We must be very foolish. Gopis are saying like that to Krishna. So, when this was mentioned by Gopis, when Gopis spoke like this to Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam made a little fun of Gopis. You can see that. If you read through the verses carefully, you will see. What was that fun? He told him that Gopis are asking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? They are inquiring at that point. They were asking all the plants and the trees there. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see in the 30th, chapter 30th, that's where Krishna disappeared, isn't it? So in that chapter, there, to 33 chapters are the rasa dance, isn't it? So, if you look into the 30th chapter, you will see there Gopi's inquiry Gopi's inquiring after the Krishna. They are asking, I'll read those verses and talk about that. Drishtova, Gopis are asking, Kachid Ashwatha Plaksha Nigro Dhanomanaha Nanda Sunurgado Khritva Premahasavalokanehi. Krishna has been dancing with the gopis till now, and suddenly Krishna disappeared from the scene. So gopis were very much in distress at that point when Krishna disappeared. And they were inquiring, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So in that inquiry, they were asking the banyan tree, have you seen Krishna? They were asking many ashwatham, plaksham, nyagrotham, different kinds of trees. Nanda Sunurgado Hritvam Premahasa Avalokanehi. Have any one of you seen Krishna who has stolen our heart by that beautiful smile? Gopis are asking all these living, all these trees and plants and creepers and everything. Sudeva Goswami says, Kachil Kuravagashoga Naga Punaga Chambagaha Ramanijomani nam idodarpaharasmidaha kachit tulasi kalyani govinda charana priye sahatwaligaler bibrat drishtastredi priyo chudaha malatyadarshiva kachin malige jadi yudhige pridimo janayan yada karasparshena madhava chudapriyala panasasana kovidaram jambarko billu bagulasha kadambani paha yenye para artha bhavaga yamino bagulaha shamsandu krishna padavim rihidalmanam nam. So in these 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 verses in this chapter, 30th chapter, gopis are asking this same question to all these different kinds of plants, trees, creepers and everything. Have you seen Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? Sudeva Goswami is saying, what a question to ask. What a question to ask. Sudeva Goswami is saying, gopis know very well that inside, outside, there is only one thing, Krishna, everywhere. And now they are going and inquiring, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Is that not something very strange? Sudeva Goswami's point is like that. So they ask gopis this question. Sudeva Goswami's questions to gopis was like this. That you are keep on inquiring this, what does it mean? That inside, outside, there is only Him existing. Inside everyone, Krishna is present. Outside also only Krishna is present. And now you keep on inquiring, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? What an inquiry this is. It's an interesting inquiry, isn't it? point, what do you have to know this? That Sudeva Goswami's point is that gopis have spoken such things about Krishna. That Akhila Dehinam Andar Almadrik. Gopis have already said to Krishna that you are the soul of everybody. Andar Alma, inside. Andaryami, inside. Is you and nobody else. So that means gopis have recognized that Krishna is the present in everybody, everywhere. Then where is the question of inquiring after Krishna? Isn't it? That question will come. What's this inquiry then about? This is the question we have to ask, isn't it? That Sudeva Goswami makes fun of gopis in that way, at that time, saying to them, that what are you inquiring after? You know very well that He is present in everyone, everywhere. And then what are you inquiring about? So He says here, that that is in the fourth verse He mentions there, Gayandi Uchai Amumeva Samhadam Vijikir Unmattaka Vadvana Advanam Papracho Akashavadandaram Bahir Budeshu Sandam Purusham Vanaspadi. That is that line, talking about that. So the Goswami is asking, Papracho Akashavadandaram Bahir. Like the sky, He is present inside and outside. Akashavadandaram Bahir. Inside and outside. Like sky, He is present inside and outside. And paprachu, and then you are asking, Bhudeshu sandam purusham vanaspadin. You are going and asking all this vanaspadi. Vanaspadi means all these trees, plants and everything. You are going and inquiring from them, where is Krishna? So Sudeva Goswami makes a comment like this about the gopis in the Bhagavadam. So what does this mean? This is an important question, isn't it? That we are also saying that Krishna, like us, gopis were not like us. For us, Krishna is only in the temple, isn't it? We see Krishna only in the temple room, that too in the deity room only. Outside, once you come out, Krishna is finished there. That's the end of it. So, and in that consciousness, we are living throughout life. That I have to go to temple to see Krishna. He's there. So, but gopis are not like that. Gopi didn't say like that in their prayers. Gopis didn't say like that. Gopi says, Akhila Dehinam Andar Atma Drik. He is present in everyone, is Andaryami, Andaryatma, and Drik, He is the seeing everyone. He is seeing everyone's activity. So if it is like that, where is, why this question came? That, and that's why Sudeva Goswami is asking them, why come you are going and asking all these trees and plants, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? That therefore, he begins that 30th chapter with this verse, Paprachu Akashavadandaram Bahir Bhudeshu Sandam Purusham Vanaspadin. That going and inquiring with all these people doesn't make any sense. That was Sudeva Goswami's words. So the important point here is that that is true. Gopi says we know that. That we also, but we have no answer to this. This is called mystery. This is a mystery. You can't justify all this with philosophy. Philosophy cannot justify. Philosophy finishes here. All your so-called philosophy and all other Vedantam, everything comes to a dead stop here. Gopis are saying, we know all these things, but we can't stop it from doing this. If somebody says like that, what will you say? They are understood the problem. They're saying that Krishna is present everywhere and everyone. But at the same time, that He has left us and gone away, we want to find Him. And Gopi's relationship was like that. So, this is actually a mysticism. It cannot be explained by anything. It is a mystic thing it is. And this, those who are doing research in spiritual life, you know, there are people who does research in everything, isn't it? Because they have to get some grant from the government and keep them on going, keep the jobs going. So, you got some research project going somewhere. So they will do research in Bhagavadam, research in Bhagavad Gita also. So what they did was, after doing a lot of research, these scholars, they understood that this cannot be explained. So we'll give it another name that's called mysticism. That's how this mysticism word came. They gave on this name, mysticism, to this. Because you can't answer this. You're stuck there. You can't go further than that. So, actually, to explain this, the only word, that mysticism, what they are referring to is bhakti. Is bhakti. Actually, in English, we say devotion for bhakti, isn't it? But more appropriate than that, this is the right word. This mysticism is that bhakti. Why? Because here, the bhakti what we are talking about is a different type altogether, isn't it? That is not the bhakti what is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam's bhakti is this, because Sri Narada Maharshi gives the best example of devotees. What does he say? Yadha Vraja Gopiganam. Vraja Gopiganam, that means the gopis of Vrajam are the perfect examples of bhakti. This is how he talked about bhakti in the Narada Bhakti Sutra. Sri Narada Maharshi has only one example to give for a devotee. Yatha Vrajagopiganam. Vrajagopis are the perfection of bhakti. For bhakti. Vrajagopikas are the perfection of bhakti. And Vrajagopi's state of consciousness was like this. That they couldn't explain what it is. That they have understood everything, that Krishna is present everywhere, but they have to see Krishna personally in that way, in that form what has captured them. So, if you hear the words they have spoken, they have knowledge. Gopis have knowledge, isn't it? But they are crying like ordinary people in Krishna's absence. Isn't it? They're crying like ordinary people. Suppose somebody very close to us leave this world. How we feel the separation? We'll feel very depressed, isn't it? Very depressed for some time at least. So exactly like that, gopis were crying also. On the other hand, they were speaking from the highest realized state also. So in other words, what was attracting them, what were in Krishna, was that initially Krishna attracted them. Isn't it? Initially, Krishna attracted them. And then, eventually, Krishna threw that seed of knowledge inside them. That you will see in the Gopikagitam. If you read carefully, you will see how Krishna captured their attention through bodily level. Bodily attraction, Krishna brought them closer to Him. Closer to Him. Then, Krishna threw the seed of knowledge inside. There is a verse in the in the Gopikagitam. Rahasi Samvido Krishnayor, verse 17. If you look there, you will see there. Rasahi, Krishna say there, Gopis are saying, Rahasi Samvidam Krishnayodayam Prahasitananam Prema Vikshanam Brihudara Shriyo Vikshadhamade Muhurades Praha Muhyade Manaham. Rahasi Samvidam Hrishrayodayam Prahasidananam Prema Vikshanam Buhadurashriyo Viksha Dhamade Muhuradispraha Muhyade Mana. This is that verse in the Gopikagitam. At the end you will see this verse. There they are saying here, Rahasi Samvidam. Samvit means the potency inside. What potency? Chit potency. That is called Samvit. Samvit potency. It is called Samvit potency. Rahasi Samvidam Hrishrayodayam. That by Krishna touch, Krishna's association, that Samvit potency inside has woken up in the gopi's heart. In other words, three different personalities call the same thing in three different ways. That's all it is. Rasahi Samvidam Hrishrayodayam Prahasidananam Prema Vikshanam. Krishna's smile and Krishna's glancing at them made the chit potency inside to wake up. Jnanis call it as the chit potency. Jnanis call it as the chit potency. Devotees call it as rasa. We call it as the rasam, isn't it? Different mellows, as they call it. So what we call as the mellows, the Jnanis are calls it as the chit potency inside. The chit potency wakes up. Chit, Satta Chitta Anandam, isn't it? So when the Chit potency wakes up, Rahasi Samvit, that is what is referred to here, that they started experiencing that all what Krishna has done was looked at them, smiled at them, and rahasya samvidam hrishaya prahasidananam prema vikshanam. That prema vikshanam, that loving glances from Krishna, woke up that chit potency inside, and then the inquiry has begun seriously. Nothing could stop after that. So this is what happens in a person when Krishna gives that mercy. This knowledge that is inside already in a person in the form of chit shakti, that chit shakti wakes up inside. When chit shakti wakes up, automatically you can't stop it then. You go and you're completely under the control of the chit potency, Radharani's potency, that is. Radharani's chit potency. So in that potency, your inquiry will not stop. Family life, relatives, society, all this has no value there at that point. This is from the devotee's point of view. So jnanis calls it as samvit and also realization. Krishaya yadi, that has happened in the, woken up in the heart, it says here. And it is lying there in very in a very hidden form, this chit potency in everyone, and that it wakes up. Yogis call the same thing as kundalini. It's not different. When this effect of the we also say Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, isn't it? Three different realizations. Devotee realizes Krishna when this mellow happens to him, in his rasa, in other words, in relationship with Krishna. The jnanis, through samvit potency, chit shakti wakes up inside and he sees that realization comes to him. The yogis, for them, it is kundalini. Kundalini shakti wakes up. We are normally thinking that kundalini is something lying there, it comes through, start rising like a barometer, it keeps going up. This is all bogus. This is not the proper understanding of these things. That the chit shakti inside is in everyone. Satya chitta anandam is the nature of the soul. So this chit potency inside has got these different capacities. Through the process with which we follow, it will manifest in three different ways. That's what happens. For a devotee who have approached Krishna with loving relationship, it will appear for him in the form of rasam and mellows, like the gopis experienced. They were experiencing it in that way. For the jnani, they will experience in that in a different way. Samvid, that samvid potencies. That is what it is. Rahasi samvidam, hrachrayodayam, prahasidananam, premavikshanam. First, Krishna attracted gopis towards him and moved this chit shakti inside by observation and glancing and smiling. That chit shakti got moving inside. And immediately this happened. To Dhruva Maharaj, what Krishna did? He touched his cheek with his conch shell. Immediately chit shakti woke up from inside. You can see that in the Bhagavad mentions there. So when the chit shakti wakes up, for a devotee, it will appear in the form of different rasas, whatever he is. At the moment, what we are thinking is, there's a lot of misunderstanding here. Let me say this. Because from the Bhagavad, when you read it, you understand in a different way. But when you mentally speculate, you will see different ways. People ask, what's my rasa? What kind of rasa do I have? How do I know what my rasa is? Which rasa should I follow? These questions people ask. Should I become, anyway, Madhuryam is the topmost, let me have it. They will think like that, isn't it? People say like these things. I will only go for the best. I won't take anything lower than that. No, this is the ignorance in our devotee level. But when you understand things from Shastram, you will see when it happens, at what stage this happens. Rahasi samvidam hrishrayodayam prahasidananam prema vikshanam. That Krishna, this is what association is all about. Krishna's association with the gopis. What happened was that glances from Krishna and his smile, prahasidananam prema vikshanam, it has disturbed that chit shakti inside. And automatically, all attachment to home, family life, all the rules and regulations of this world, social etiquette, all these gopis threw away in 1 second and went after Krishna without asking any more questions. Questions all stop there. So this is the mystery. When the chit shakti wakes up in a person, you can't say anything then. What to do about it? How he will act? That's very difficult to say. If he has followed the jnanam process, He will go through the Samvit potency. He will experience that. Jnanam realization will come. Of self-realization will happen to him automatically. Nobody has to tell him. That he will be in that platform. What Krishna says, Atmanyi Valpana Tushta. He is in the platform of the soul. There is no more discussion about what it will be like when you are there. That question doesn't arise. You are there already, so you don't have to ask anyone what it's like then. Atmanyi Valpana Tushta. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita these things very specifically explaining to us. So, having said that, for a yogi who is following the Ashtanga Yogam process, we talk about this Kundalini rising, isn't it? That is also nothing but the rising of the Chit Shakti inside. Kundalini is also nothing but the Chit Shakti inside. So the soul inside us, all of us, what we have is a very powerful thing inside. It has got so much power packed into it. Only thing is, we have fallen into this unfortunate material bodily identity and fallen into this state. That's why when the realized souls, when they speak, if the, by chance this Chit Shakti arises inside, immediately these changes, what happens in us, is to be taken care of. That's what it says here. Then you don't see there that as soon as Krishna looked at them and smiled at them, immediately the meditation started inside in an automatic way. We all struggle very hard to meditate, isn't it? We are asking the question, when I chant, should I meditate on the pastime or should I meditate on the form or should I meditate on the something else or the deities, and all kinds of questions we are asking, isn't it? If you try to do all that, it's not going to work. No, it will last probably 5 seconds maximum. If it lasts 5 seconds, you should consider it's very success. Great success. After that, you are completely forgotten your question, your meditation, your mind will be somewhere at work or at home, or something else will come at that time. So you can see, meditation is not what. Gopis didn't do any meditation. But as soon as Krishna looked at them, prakasidananam premavikshanam, inside started churning. Couldn't do anything about it. Gopis couldn't do anything about it. That's what gopis are saying. Rakasisamvidam krishrayodayam prakasidananam premavikshanam. Everything started happening in a way which we don't know how it happened. That's their answer to that. That's why it is bhakti. That's bhakti. So, how do you know that? Gopis themselves have said that in the Bhagavadam. If you look into the chapter, 21st chapter, verse 7, Krishna is saying there, gopis are saying there, that the... Achanvadam bhalamidam na param vidamaha sakhya pashu nanivivesheyator vayasyaihi vaktram brajesha sutayo anuvena jushtam yairva nibidam anurakta kadakshamoksham. When we are discussing gopis, we have to learn many things from the gopis. Because we are just thinking, oh, gopis, mundane people assume that they just got attracted to Krishna's form. And all the gopis got attracted to Krishna's form. And they just ran after Krishna. And then they blame Krishna and then they blame gopis also for that. They say, oh, Krishna, he was always after women. They'll say like that. And then they'll say, gopis, what kind of people are they? They had their family life, they left everything, ran after Krishna. So both are blamed by great souls in the university. They tell them that they didn't do right thing. But if you want to know these things, in Bhagavadam, unless you study these things very carefully, that the gopis' way of that realization coming to them, the of the truth, how truth was delivered to them by Krishna's relationship with the gopis, that you can see here. Achanvadam bhalamidam na param vidama sakhya pashu nanu viveshayator vayasyaihi vaktram brajesha sudayor anuvenu jushtam yairva nibidam anurakta kadakshamoksham. So, that gopis are saying to each other that the perfection of life is seeing Krishna, nothing else. Their conclusion is like that. Perfection of life is just seeing Krishna. We don't know anything else. Along with the cowherd boys, Krishna was going to the forest every day. And every day while they were going, they looked at both sides to all the gopis who were standing in the balcony or in the houses. Krishna was looking at them. By that looks alone, and when he was playing the flute, that has taken them completely away from this world. And this is the perfection of life, gopis are saying there in the Bhagavadam. In other words, gopis are saying, we have understood now what is spiritual life is about. They are not saying that spiritual life. They are saying that this has happened to us in association with Krishna. In association with Krishna. So there you will see there, achanyodam bhalamidam, that there is nothing else higher than that to achieve in this world. So here, there is an important thing here. Sukadeva Goswami, after talking about Krishna's pastimes, at one point, when Krishna started playing the flute, Sukadeva Goswami withdraw from the scene. Because Krishna's playing flute in the Bhagavadam is a very important chapter. Venuganam it is called, isn't it? It's an important chapter. And Sukadeva Goswami says, I am not the person to judge about Krishna's playing flute. And he passes over that responsibility to the gopis to make that decision. How about their opinion about Krishna who is playing the flute? So this is how in the Bhagavadam it is coming through. That the Sukadeva Goswami himself doesn't want to talk about Krishna's playing flute. So you will see Gopika Uchu. Gopis are saying about Krishna's playing flute. And prior to that, he says here that the form of Krishna at that time, when Krishna was playing the flute and gopis are observing him. Barhabidam Nadavaravabu Karnayo Karnigaram Vibhradvasa Kanaga Kavisham Vajayandincha Mahalam Rendran Venor Adharasudhayo Purayan Gopa Vrundehi Vrindaranyam Sobadaravanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. Sukadeva Goswami's words on, it's a famous verse in the Bhagavadam. There are two verses in the Bhagavadam which made Sukadeva Goswami to run after Srimad Bhagavadam. Probably you have heard that. These are two verses and this is that one verse. This Barhapidam Nadavaravabu Karnayo Karnigaram Bibhradvasam Kanaga Kabisham Vajayam Dinjamalam Rendran Veno Radharasudhayo Purayan Gopa Vrindehi Vrindaranyam Sobadaramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. That Vrindaranyam, in Vrindavanam, how Krishna has come on that particular day to play the flute. On that particular day, Krishna wanted to play the flute and entertain all the gopis with playing flute. And that Krishna's form on that day, Barhabidam Nadavaravapu. If you look at Krishna on that day, Krishna appeared as though he has dressed up for playing in a drama. Just like when you dress up yourself for the drama, isn't it? A particular dress you put on, whatever role you are playing in the drama. You put that dress on as a king or as a servant or whatever role you are playing in the drama, you have to put on that role or a sage or whatever. But here, and the person acting in the drama, he will always have a lot of makeup, isn't it? A lot of makeup he does. Similarly, Krishna has also done a lot of makeup on that day. But this makeup was, the cohort boys had done it on Krishna. Barhabidam Nadavaravabhu. That Barhabidam means full of peacock feathers all over the head, everywhere. And like a person who is acting in a drama, he is walking. Karnayo Karnigaram Bibhradvasakkanaya Kavisham Vajayandinjamalam. Then, and Karnayo Karnigaram, on the eyes, the cowherd boys have decorated Krishna that day in the forest. Karnigara flowers, the kind of flowers, they took a bunch and hung it up on either ears of Krishna. On both the ears, one bunch of Karnigara flowers. Karnayo Karnigaram Bibhradvasa Kanaka Kabisham Vajayandinjamalam. That Pidambaram or the yellow garment, it was shining so well. Kanaka Kabisham, like gold, yellow, gold, golden color of that Pidambaram, the dress Krishna was wearing, the dhoti, the way Krishna wears the dhoti. Bibhradvasa Kanaka Kabisham Vajayandinjamalam. Also a garland of Vaijayanti flowers, the cowherd boys put it on Krishna. They were dressing up Krishna that day. They dressed up Krishna because they wanted to hear how Krishna plays the flute. So prior to playing the flute, all the cowherd boys said to Krishna, we are going to do the makeup for you. And they started dressing up Krishna like this. Rendran Venu Radhara Sudhayo Purayan Gopa Vrindehi. that when Krishna put the flute on his mouth, the different holes, they were all filled with Krishna's saliva coming from his lips. Rantran venur adhara sudhayo purayan gopa vrindaihi. And when all this was happened, vrindaranyam svabadaramanam pravishad gita kirtihi. Then Krishna is walking in this way, pravishad gita kirti. Then to make everything, Vrindavanam became so glorious by Krishna's presence in this way. Once a question was asked to the flute by Radharani, that how come Krishna is always passing his saliva through your holes, and how come I don't even get that opportunity like the way you get it? So the flute answered to Radharani saying like this, because I am hollow inside. What does that mean? There is no false ego inside. Even the slightest amount of false ego in a person keeps Krishna away from him. So imagine those who have got very large amount of false ego. What will it be? That is why all these great intellectuals and the great scholars and also the great professors and research men, scientists, they will find it very difficult to approach Krishna. Because we have to become like the flute before we have some mercy to come from Krishna. Vrindaranyam svabadaramanam pravishat gita kirti. So, saying this, Krishna is saying here that you have come. Upanishads, what Upanishads are talking about, that truth has come in front of us in this form. The truth, what Upanishads are talking about, have come in front of us in this form, and it has attracted us. It is that truth what is spoken in the Upanishads. Upanishads refer to it as Brahman. Here it is called as Bhagavan. Devotees refer it to as Bhagavan. Krishna has come like this. That we know that this is not exactly your form. This form what you are presenting in front of us. So, in Salsangam, when these things are understood, Krishna says there that the Srimad Bhagavatam also says the same thing, that the attraction for the form is there. In the beginning, the attraction for the form. And it is through the form we are getting attracted to Krishna. It is through the form we get attracted to Krishna. But if you ask, are they attracted to the form? They are attracted to the form. But if you ask them, are you not attracted to the form? They are not attracted to the form. This is the situation happens. Why? After the attraction to the form, Krishna fills the devotee or the jnani or the yogi, whoever is in the process, with this samvit inside, wakes up. Once that wakes up, we understand who is Krishna. When you understand who is Krishna, it's a different realization than simply seeing the deity in the temple and accepting Krishna in that way. Isn't it? Attraction in the temple is purely based on the form, isn't it? Is it not? Attraction in the temple is purely based on the form. That is why we are after photographing Krishna. Why so many cameras comes in the morning taking Krishna's photos? Why is that? Because you are attracted to the form, isn't it? That attraction to the form makes us to think in those lines always, isn't it? That will not go away when Krishna talks about understanding the tattvam. Tattvam is more important in the sense, it is only when tattvam happens, tattvam is understood. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvada. What is that tattvada? Because otherwise every one of us should be self-realized by now, if it is simply seeing the form is concerned. Isn't it? All of us are seeing Krishna in the deity form, many days in the temple and elsewhere, and so many things in our life. But self-realization is not happening to us. We are very much the body. So the important thing is that Krishna is saying also here that if you ask that, are you attracted to the form? Yes, you are attracted to the form. But there is something beyond that form also to understand. That is the tattvam. That is the tattvam. Janma karma jame divyam Evam yo veti tatvada tektua deham punarjanmam naidimamedi sorjana. Krishna says, punarjanmam, repetition of birth stops when tattvam is realized. When tattvam is, tektua deham punarjanmam naidi, no more punarjanmamedi, they come back to me, Krishna Sarjuna. So in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna has spoken this in the seventh chapter, Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam, Janmam Karmam, if you understand, people always ask this verse, it's a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. People have a lot of questions on this verse. They keep asking this, that what does this actually mean? It's actually in the fourth chapter. What does this actually mean? We have seen Krishna in the deity in the temple. Then the verse is saying, Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tattvada. If you understand in truth, then there is no more rebirth after that. It says like that, isn't it? The verse is very clear about that. If you understand. So, Tektva Deham Punarjanmam. If you, once you give up this body, there is no more Punarjanmam after that. Punarjanmam after that. Krishna says like that. So, Bhagavad Gita, one has to think through a lot. There's a lot to understand in Bhagavad Gita. It is not simply some direct statements like that. They are never direct. Unless one takes effort and to study and inquire these things, these realizations won't happen. Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tattvada. So in the Bhagavatam, gopis are expressing their distress. Dusaha, Preshta Virahaha. That separation they are feeling from Krishna, and they are crying. And they are saying that we are feeling the separation from him, and at the same time we are not attached either. Both statements are coming from the same gopis. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, they are not attached to Krishna. Why? Because you can ask this question. Mathura is only 10 kilometers from Vrindavan. Isn't it? 10 is it? 10 or 15 kilometers maybe. 10 miles, I think. Yeah. So, if gopis were so attached to Krishna, when Krishna went to Mathura, why did gopis did not go after Krishna? They could have gone if they were so attracted to Krishna. Isn't it? They didn't go. Do you see anywhere in Bhagavatam mentioned gopis have gone to Mathura after Krishna? Krishna boarded the chariot and Akrura drove the chariot and took Krishna away from there. But in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see gopis tried to stop the chariot. It's mentioned, this is the katha side, the story side of it. Tried to stop the chariot, but once the chariot is gone. No more inquiry after that. Why? This is a question to ask, isn't it? If they were so mad after Krishna, at least Radharani would have thought would have gone, isn't it? Because she was so mad, she couldn't sleep, she couldn't eat, she couldn't bathe. She was in total depressed state, which you see when Uddhava comes to see her. But if it was that intense, like mentions there, I'm sure Radharani would have found some way to get to Mathura. It would not have been difficult. It would have been possible. Considering that the distance is not that far. But you don't see anywhere in the Bhagavatam or anywhere else in Garga Bhagavatam or anywhere, gopis leaving Vrindavanam and going to see Krishna. Why did that happen like that? That's another question to ask. So many questions. These are the questions to ask. This is what 10 Canto is telling us. All these interesting things about the gopis' relationship with Krishna. Rahasi samvidam hrichrayodayam prahasitananam prema vikshanam. That Gopika Gitam, if you analyze each verse in the Gopika Gitam, each of the verses has something to tell us. That gopis' way of thinking and the experience of that mystery, that bhakti in their heart, what they were experiencing. And that is the reason Sri Narada Maharshi said in the Bhakti Sutram, Yatha Vraja Gopiganam. Like the Vraja Gopis, that bhakti should come to us. That is what one should be praying for. And not all the other kind of things what we have considering ourselves as bhakti. Our bhakti is all based on how much money it comes. That's our bhakti. As long as we are in that level, Krishna won't give us anything in connection with bhakti. Bhakti will not be anywhere near to us. Bhakti will be completely kept away. It is in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this very clearly. That the yeyadhamam prabhadyande tamstadaiva bhajamiham. This is what it means. That surrender, that bhajanam, or the prabhadyi, prabhadyande means prabhati, prabhati means sharanagati, surrender. Is this what Krishna is discussing in the Bhagavad Gita? That gopis have reached that stage. So all the question of surrender, all the question of self-realization, they are a totally different topic. It is not for a topic for discussion of those who are pound, shilling and pence. It's not for them. Their bhakti won't come to that stage. We are not finding fault with them, but they are in that stage. We have to recognize that. There's nothing we can do about it. Those who are counting pound, shilling and pence and thinking that they are in the process of self-realization, they have to think twice about it. Then are they in spiritual life or are they in religion? This is the big choice in front of us to make. So, rahasidananam prema vikshanam. When our understanding is based on mundane things like that, Srimad Bhagavatam is not accessible. That is why Bhagavatam is not an attraction for many people, because of this reason. To understand Srimad Bhagavatam and to get into the mysteries of Bhagavatam, you won't find it very easy when our mind is very much anchored to our wealth, property, values in position in this world, followers, recognition from the community, society, all these kinds, they have to go behind. You have to leave them behind to enjoy Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a science of the soul. It is not for business. It is not for any kind of transaction. Won't work with Srimad Bhagavatam. The only thing what Krishna says there is in the Srimad Bhagavatam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, yeyadhamam prabhadyande tamstadaiva bhajamyaham. Mama varpanu vartande manushya partha sarvasha. All people in this world, Krishna says, they follow my rule, knowingly or unknowingly. But who has come to me with this understanding that surrendering to Krishna is the goal, not anything else. And with that openness, if he approaches me, Krishna gives, I give myself to him, not otherwise. So there are so many things to be spoken while talking in relationship with the gopis. It's a topic, it takes a long time to talk through the gopis' realizations of Krishna and gopis' relationship with Krishna particularly is important, because through the relationship, this relationship, you can see how gopis were surrendered to Krishna properly. Proper surrender has happened to him. So nobody was willing to go to Mathura to inquire after Krishna. So, when they eventually, if you know in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna sends Uddhava to pacify the gopis, isn't it? So Uddhava comes, and the whole discussion between Uddhava and the gopis, if you read, it is in the 47th chapter of the 10th canto. That is much more interesting to tell us how important all this understanding is. We'll discuss next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.